Happy Pride! Nice hat, huh? Yeah. Can you see what it says in the back?
No.
This is an eye test.
No.
Can you see what it says down front?
No.
Make America gay again. Lewis found that hat in Kansas City, of all places. Nothing against Kansas City. I like Kansas City. I was there last week, but really, Kansas City, middle of the country. Here's the thing that's pretty funny about this hat. Make America gay again. A red hat. It pertains to all of us, because we've each got it in expression, right?
Yes.
You are God expressing as you, or simply God as you.
Yes.
Come on, I love a good acronym. Get it? God as you. Gay. Make America gay. Ah. I decided Lewis would get credit for that, whether it got booed or not. So you guys, thanks Luigi. We're glad you're home. It's been a while. So if you are God expressing as you, which you are, that makes us all gay. God as you. So what that says is it gives us an opportunity to put God first, right? And today is a perfect day to do that. Pride. Happy Pride. And I love, again, I love acronyms. So I was thinking about Pride this morning, about an acronym. And I have to see if I can remember what I came up with. People really into, was it into? People really into demonstrating
Equality.
People really into, how about people really insistent on demonstrating equality? Does that work for you?
Yeah.
Okay, Pride, we've got a new acronym. So if you were gay, according to this hat, you are. Now, as cute and clever as that song is, it's so much fun. I used to hate that word so much. Gay. And that cute little song carries some really deep truths for me personally. Because it used to be, and still can be, such a derogatory word. But back in my day, it was more like faggot, homo, those things. And I was kind of thinking about the span of time doing the math, and I figured that I probably spent about half my life, and I ain't that young no more, about half my life denying who I was, or who I am, denying who I am. And I was actually, as a kid, I was pretty balanced with the tough boy themes, football and doing things with neighborhood kids and like smoking weeds. Literally weeds, not just weeds. We would go by the railroad tracks and get these little, I don't know, they were like hollow weeds.
Yeah.
And I had to act like I liked it. It was disgusting. I just like a weed. And then years later, it's like, oh, you want some weed? I'm like, I'm good. Thanks. But they're done now. But I used to do all that stuff, gigging frogs. Does anybody even know what that is?
No.
Gigging frogs.
No.
Oh, I'm gonna tell you, you'll think so much less of me. It's when it's like a long, it's a little tiny pitchfork.
That's it.
I'm a cosmopolitan redneck. I can't help where I grew up. I would kill snakes and hang them on the clothesline to freak my mother out. And it worked really well. But I was also very sensitive. And I liked music and art. And by the time I was in high school, I had a killer wardrobe. Remember Doc Severinsen on John Carlson's Night Show? I'm like, that man is not going to outdress me. So I had some clothes. But all it took was that one little bit of sensitivity. You know, kids can be really mean. Oh my God, kids can be mean. And we were all kids. Was anybody here really mean? It's okay if you were, you've advanced. You've gone on, you've graduated. But it's amazing. It's amazing how mean kids can be. So the pride is really about all of us. It's clearly associated with being gay, right?
Yeah.
It's no longer called gay pride and overall. It's called pride. It's pride in all of us. But it commemorates a time, a dark time in history, a really dark time in history, when a group of people who had been very oppressed had had enough. And next year will be the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall riots down in Orange Village that happened the very same day Judy Garland died.
Really?
The rainbow flag. Somewhere over the rainbow. Yep. And it's people who stood up. And it's something that it's a great example of something that came out of something very dark going on for a very long time, and something beautiful emerged from it. And it took work, and it took commitment. And the way history repeats itself far too many times in too many ways, we're going through that right now. Every day we are just surrounded in this pervasive darkness. And I remember a time like this when it is a miracle. It's a miracle that pride emerged and happened. And it reminds me that right now we are emerging from a lot of darkness that will become something very beautiful. It's that metaphor of the butterfly coming from the chrysalis, continuing to strengthen its wings. So right now, it's as important as ever for us to ask, what is mine to do? And to ask it consistently, and then to do it. What is mine to do? And then get that guidance, and then do it. Because as Kelly Clarkson was saying, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. Yes? And our strength is needed right now. Because we've gathered here together on a Sunday morning, like we often do. And we know this stuff. It's not new information. In the midst of so much cruelty that is going on around us right now in the world, in the advanced work that we're here to do on the planet, simply by being incarnated at this time in history, we have to remember that we are one. We are one. How does that sit with you? We hear it a lot, but how does it sit with you? We are one. Say it. We are one. Now here's the catch. It doesn't exclude anyone. Anyone. The people in our lives who have been the cruelest, if you think back over your journey and you connect the dots, are the ones who provided the opportunities for us to grow the most. Yes?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Holler. We learn the most through our problems, not through those times when everything is just smooth and easy and joyful and hunky-dory. And believe me, if I hadn't been through some of the exceptionally challenging times in my life, I wouldn't be here right now. There's no way I would be here right now. I mentioned earlier, just a minute ago, how much I relate to that song, If You Were Gay. And I also relate it to I Will Survive, because I did, and I have, and so have you. Say, I will survive.
I will survive.
Because I have survived.
Because I have survived.
Hallelujah. See, I grew up in a time before there was Will and Grace, or Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, or Tales of the City, or actually that one's not really true, because I found out last night that that was written the year I graduated high school, but I didn't hear about it for another 15 years. But the point is, I grew up in a time and place that it was not okay to be who I am. And my formative years were really, they were often very wonderful. And it seems like just as often they were very painful. I was living this dichotomy of this very loving, connected life, and then a life of painful isolation. And it was painful to the point that too many times to count, I didn't want to live. And it's to this day, it's so unfortunate that that is still something that prevails in LGBT youth in our country. When a celebrity like Anthony Bourdain or Kate Spade or Robin Williams commits suicide, of course, I couldn't possibly know what they were going through. And when it happens, and we hear the news, it strikes this deep chord of pain and sadness, doesn't it? So I can't possibly know what they were going through, but I certainly know what it feels like to feel pain to the point of seriously considering ending my life. There was one particular time, and it was after my first relationship. And it was a secret relationship. It didn't happen until well into my 20s. And it was a secret relationship for about 3 years. Although Helen Keller and Rachel Olds could both see what was going on. But it wasn't, I just needed to think it was a secret. But it became a really, really hard, really difficult, really abusive relationship. And I was terrified to leave the relationship because I thought, wow, I will be alone again. And this may be my only shot in life. And it's perfect because it's secret, at least we think we're keeping it secret. But it became very abusive. And I had plenty of opportunities to leave the relationship, but I wouldn't. And suddenly, my dad died at 52 years old. And the day of my dad's funeral, the relationship I would not leave. You know when the universe conspires in your favor and pushes you for what you won't do for yourself?
Right.
I got back from my dad's funeral. And you know how people gather at someone's home afterwards and everyone brings food and you hang out and you mourn and tell stories and laugh. You all know what I'm talking about. Well, I went to my house to change clothes and to catch my breath. I just needed a moment by myself. And when I got there, there was a really, really nasty note on the table. And a lot of my things were broken in the house. And this guy left the day of my dad's funeral. And it just, the layers were piling on. And I wanted, that was a time that really comes to me where I so wanted to end my life that day. And I was so pissed that I couldn't because my dad had just died. I'm like, oh God, I can't do that to my family. He just died. And then I realized, the more I thought about it, I had isolated myself in this secret relationship and shut so many people out of my life that really, it wasn't about being dead and gone. It was about seeing if anybody would show up at my funeral. And I realized that I was kind of screwed either way, because if people show up, it's too late. I can't do anything about it. It's like, oh my God, they still care about me. And if they don't, it would feel worse going, oh my God, they really didn't care about me. So it was a no-win situation. So I'm still here. I didn't care myself. But I know what it feels like. And those are the times that I refer to as my holy hell, because it got me through what I needed to get through to be here. And also, I'm convinced that if I hadn't been so closeted, I could have easily been a statistic in the 80s when the AIDS crisis hit. When I was a kid, God was really, really important to me. But here was the thing. Everything that I was taught and heard about God said that I was wrong to feel what I felt, to be who I was. And I was, God, this can't be true, but it must be true, because that's all I'm hearing. I didn't have any other context for this stuff. And it just felt awful. I didn't have a unity or a place like that to learn the truth when I was a kid. And I knew at a young age, probably 7 or 8, that though I liked girls and loved having a girlfriend, I liked boys too. There's one calling now. They're lining up. Tell them I'll call them back. But I started to realize the boys probably floated my boat a little more than girls, but I couldn't tell a single soul. There was no way I would share that information with anybody. Well, it was a number of years, many years later, living in New York City, before I could even begin to eke my way out of that closet. And the thing that had the most to do with that for me was when I found Unity. Because Unity articulated questions I never knew how to ask. And I knew I had found my tribe, where everyone is welcome and everyone is a child of God. And I was, oh my God, I was so, so joyful. And it really, looking back, really over connecting the dots, it really wasn't until my mid-30s. And it was really around the time, speaking of Unity, that Paul and I got together, because Paul had never not been out since he came out of the womb. And so I'm like, if we're going to be together, and I ain't got a choice. Here I am, hey girl. You know, here I am. And the irony was that after all the work I did to get to that point in my life, by the time I did all the name calling, all the things that I had taken in my life, by the time I got there and didn't care what people thought, they didn't think anything. Because it didn't matter if they did. Isn't that magic?
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
I got to a point where I'm like, wow, this is actually a non-issue. It's really a non-issue. I found this wonderful quote, that shame is a powerful way to keep people silent and isolated. And when thousands of someones march under rainbow-colored balloons right down the main streets of this country, it helps break through the layers of shame that try so hard to suffocate the spirit. We've all been through times of discomfort. Comfort is good. It feels wonderful, doesn't it? But discomfort is really good. It's really good. It's that growth that we get to experience. And we've all been offended in our lives. But that's different than being oppressed. And today, Pride Sunday is a reminder that we can't be all things to all people all the time, no matter how hard we try. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
It's exhausting. Oh my God. Especially if you're codependent. Really codependent. I'm always joking with Tony. I won't be codependent if you don't want me to be. You okay with that? Are you mad or not mad? Because I'll go with you either way. We truth students have often been handcuffed by the fear of offending others. Do you get that?
Yeah.
We want to treat others as we want to be treated, and not necessarily as we have been treated. So when we stand up on a day like today for goodness and justice and equality for everyone, there are some people who will feel offended, claiming that they are being oppressed by our struggle for our full humanity. And that's okay. Equality can feel very offensive, especially to those who once had the upper hand. And you know who was really offensive? Jesus. Jesus. Yeah. Jesus did not speak in generalities. He didn't command people to love everybody, no matter what we've been told. He constantly, specifically told stories and performed miracles and challenged systems in order to lift up the marginalized and the oppressed. Jesus didn't play nice. Everyone thinks he was, oh, Jesus, yes. All he did was walk on water and never make a wave. Oh, no, especially to the Pharisees. He was not worried about offending the Pharisees. He said, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He always called them hypocrites because they were. For you lock people out of the kingdom of heaven. He loved everyone for sure. But Jesus took special care to focus his efforts toward those who desperately needed to hear that their lives mattered. He made sure the widows and the orphans and the adulterers and the illegal immigrants knew that they were fully human and fully lovable. They were children of God. Jesus threw a pride festival for the most despised in his community, and it changed the world. So no matter what, no matter who you are, what you believe, what you doubt, no matter who you love or what you've done, no matter what you look like or what you wear, no matter what, you are loved. Know that you are loved. There's never a time you're not. And no matter what anyone has ever said or done, you're beautiful exactly as you are. You are beautiful exactly as you are. Can you take that in? Tap on that heart space. And just think it inside. I am beautiful exactly as I am. I am beautiful exactly as I am. So today, there's a rocket that's about to launch. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
I should have. So in closing, I'm the one that insisted that he was there for everyone. Oh God, it's funny. So today, in honor of Pride Sunday for all, stand. Stand tall. And make America gay again. Can we bring the lights down a little bit so that we can go to that place, that deeper place of knowing the truth of who we are, of what we are. Take a breath. Let it out. Let the chair hold your weight up. And no matter what you've ever been told, no matter whatever might have been insinuated, you're beautiful.
Thank you.
It's impossible. How could anyone fail to notice that your loving, your love is a miracle? And how deeply they're all connected, soul by soul. Just feel this truth reverberate with every cell, every fiber of your being, of your magnificent body temple. Steve Maraboli said, "When I tell you that you are beautiful, I don't just mean your appearance. I mean all of you. All of you. And what you are is beautiful. And because you're beautiful, this poem is addressed to you. Because you're beautiful no matter what you do. Because you're beautiful, the sun rises every day. Because you're beautiful, the mist shrouds a dreamy day. Because you're beautiful, a blossom blooms and holds its scent. Because you're beautiful, songs sung in your heart. As we go into the silence, let these truths of who you are gently trickle down like raindrops on the other side of glass. Because you're beautiful, reflections shine and glint. Because you're beautiful, poems are written, poems heaven sent. Because you are beautiful, this is all that this poem has said. Just in case you may have any doubt, this poem is heaven sent to tell you